Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Guys, welcome back.
Walt.
How's things?
Magical. Got a nice little update cast for everyone.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be really good. We get to, you know, we're partway through our registration on some camps. We're going to talk to Mark Smith today. We're going to talk to him about what's going on at the Olympic team, and that's going to be awesome. I'm sure he'll give us some insight on how things are going down in Florida. We've got an update on a meeting that we had with the Lloyd Liners executive on how the program's going to move forward in this area. We got a real special thank you to give out to one of our players.
Yeah, we should do that right now. The Bonneville camp
mm-hmm. and stuff. Well, I think we talk about the Bonneville camp and then just say and then at night, because we got to thank Travis and Marcy for having us out there as well, right? So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's just an all-in. Yeah. So, and we got pitching and age changes we're going to talk about. Nationals have been canceled. What's going on with that stuff? So, I think it's a whole mixed bag today.
It is a mixed bag. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the thank you? Because I have a bit of an intro into that thank you.
Sure, let's do that.
So, you know, yeah, you're going to say you're going to thank the Farr's amazing family.
Well, we were in Bonneville just this past weekend. Yeah. Right?
So they had us out for some bites and some laughs and a fire. And everyone might remember the fact that the Farr's dog tried to eat Dean last time we were out there.
Yep. He loved me.
Oh.
He was dropping the ball at my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew we would rectify that issue.
I'm glad you did too, because that could weigh on
somebody.
I just
let him know, hey, I'm not food, bud.
No.
You know, I'm your buddy. And he bought into that right away.
Right away. Yeah. So, but the Farrs have a beautiful place out in Bonneville, and I had to go inside to grab something, and there's a box on the kitchen table, and Tay is in it. And
what?
It was open. The box is open. And as I walked in, she goes, "You didn't see that, did you?" And I was like, "Well, no, I didn't see anything." And
I thought you meant Tay was in a box.
No, she wasn't.
That would have been pretty funny too.
It would have been, yeah. But
surprised the heck out of you.
And they're like, "Just get out of here." And I acted like I walked in on something pretty bad, and I didn't get it. Of course, I just put my head down like I do, and I ambled back to my seat.
Right.
But then, yeah, go ahead and
go ahead. You do
well,
good.
No. I introed the story that made that there was something pretty cool that was done by one of the players.
Well, it kind of started like it came. This voice.
It startled me.
This voice came out that I don't think I've ever heard this.
I thought
voice.
Somebody new to the house. Had
yeah,
just
I
up.
Thought so too. Somebody came because they walked out of the kitchen onto the deck from behind me.
Right.
And so we hear this voice, and it's like, wow, who's here? And we turn around, and it's actually Zoe Bourbeau.
Yeah,
like and I don't think I've heard Zoe.
I've been signing to Zoe for for the years that I've known her. I've been just doing sign language.
I just took it as she's a pitcher, right? And I'm probably talking too fast. I don't know. Maybe.
We communicate in a series of blinks. You know, one is yes, two is no. Right. I thought there was a ventriloquist on the patio for a second. I'm like, hey, how are they making those words come out?
Exactly.
Alice, you're awesome. Yeah. Alice, just throwing her voice.
Very nice, very nice. So Zoe says, "Hey guys, can you come in here? I have something for you." So Dean and I and Donnie go in and have a look, and there is this most amazing.
It's going to be on our social media if it's not already.
It's a picture of this amazing cake that she baked, and just the decoration with the Twos logo and the multicolored topping in the red, white, and black, and it was unreal.
So people that are listening to this and going, okay, they baked a cake, that's nice. You need to go on our social media and you need to look at the cake.
You need to.
Like, this is Cake Boss level.
It's professional.
Very well
cake
done.
Making 101.
Yeah. By a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I even asked her after, hey, is there any chance?
And mom.
I'm sure she helped.
Yeah.
I'm sure she did. But I even asked her, hey, would you mind making a cake for me for my wife's birthday?
She's going to make every cake that I ever
she's going
have
forever.
To order.
As long as it doesn't impact her time training for the Twos. But she's going to be a busy cake builder.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a cake for something, you're going to just have to Google Zoe Cake Boss. Is it zoecakeboss.com? Is that what
I don't know. She should have a website for sure. But if you need one, you get a hold of us. And we'll pass it by her. Make sure she's not too busy. Because, I mean, now when this gets out. Like,
blowing up.
Well, the millions of people that listen, right?
Right.
You know,
not for nothing. This cake looked amazing. But it tasted.
Oh,
it's a minimum $100 cake.
It has to be. At least. Worth every penny.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome.
My only regret is that we let her cut it because my piece was small.
She's a terrible cake cutter, yeah, I'm going to say right now.
I could have had quite a bit bigger piece. And I didn't want to amble back in the kitchen and pick through the ball. I should have.
She's got a killer drop ball. She's working on that rise ball spin. She's a terrible cake cutter.
Yeah. Right. But if you're.
But
if
we
you're,
can work at that.
But if you're Zoe and you're an amazing baker. Who you cares? You have people to do the cutting. Yeah.
That's right. Like, she's going to hire a cake cutter.
A little bit of a poke at Taylor Farr, because we had our first session, and I said, hey, how good was that cake? She goes, oh, my God, I had some for breakfast. And in my immediate regret of, why didn't I take a piece for breakfast? Well, yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing for me, I mean, taste aside, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I just think it was the coolest looking cake I've ever seen.
It was. Sure. It was awesome. Yeah. I didn't think it was a cake right away. It was so whoa, like your
I thought
first
she
sewed
a pillow.
Yeah, your first reaction is that it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are we at parting shots yet? Or are we? Okay, so it was amazing cake.
Amazing.
Zoe, thank you so much, yeah, awesome. And family. Awesome. And obviously, thanks to the Fars as well. Yeah, it was a great weekend. We had good numbers this weekend. And
great
even
numbers.
Even though the weather
Bonnyville.
Was a little chill, Donnie yeah. was a little, was it you was, know, grumbling a little bit. But
if I may.
You may.
Ran the outfield station, mm-hmm. and as an outfield instructor, you're doing a lot of lobbing of balls and whatnot, so you're kind of standing around. You know, Chach is hitting infield, Tosh is throwing a little bit, you're running, so you're always kind of moving around. I basically stood like a statue.
There was snowflakes.
And there was a few snowflakes.
Yeah.
Well, that's not ideal.
It was cold.
But not one kid there bailed because of cold.
No.
Right? We had some people that, you know, were, if they couldn't make it for whatever reason, but not one kid didn't come back the second day because it was too cold. And you know what? I would say they had more fun the second day than the first day.
For sure they
especially the one group, and we won't go into names. They know who they are. They if do. They listen
we
to this
teased
podcast.
Them about being
oh
not so
God.
Much fun the first
they were,
day.
They were boring. Yeah. Like it was like golfing with my brother.
Hey? Oh yeah. Right down the middle.
2:30, click down the middle. Click down the middle. Just boring.
But the second day they were fantastic and we pointed it out. They were lots of laughs.
So Bonnyville went off. It was awesome. And I think it's going to become a traditional weekend up there. It's fantastic. Tell us about another phone call that we had on the way to Bonnyville.
Oxbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris gave us a call in Oxbow. It's going to be a quick put together camp as far as timing. We are going to have a two-day event down there as well, at Saturday, Sunday, May 15th and 16th. Yeah. You know, again, running small group training has been something we've been doing, obviously, for a little over a year now. And regardless of the number of kids we're going to have at the camp, we'll be able to work in small groups and do what we do. So we've been to Oxbow a few times over the years, different type events. But I'm looking forward to this one. And hopefully we get a good turnout, and it's going to be great.
It's going to be on the website.
It'll be on the website.
When this comes out.
Yeah, you hear it, go click on camps, it'll be there.
Awesome.
So hopefully we get, like you say, a good turnout, and be fantastic.
And talking about small groups, I know you guys had a meeting with the Liners Board as well to talk about what happens in the winter here. And I know we've mentioned it a few times. With small groups, we've actually found good attendance, but the instruction level goes way up because now you're with you're getting more time with less people at once. Yeah. So you want to talk about how that meeting went with the Liners Board?
Well, it was great, but I mean, first thing I'm going to do is apologize to the board because, you know, we take for granted that, you know, we've had different people in our program, parents and different things that we know here. And the first thing you do is you know certain people, they help you with getting venues and different things and setting things up. But in all honesty, we had never met with the Lloyd board since we started. And that's ridiculous. Like, that just seems silly to me. And it didn't really dawn on me until we were sitting in the room with them. And it's like, geez, how come we didn't do this before? You know? So we took a really good look at their program and some suggestions from them, of course, as to what types of things we want to offer. And I think rather than doing a winter training in Lloyd this year, we're going to look at offering a lot more opportunity as far as small groups go. And again, we have to look at some venues and see how all that's going to play out. But I think it'll give a lot of people, everybody, it'll give everybody a lot more opportunity to pick and choose things that are going to fit for their own personal schedules, you know, and especially with multi-sport athletes and different things like that. I think it's going to be a nice way for them to to be able to take part rather than, you know, doing a 6-session winter training that maybe two of the sessions fall on certain other events or whatever. So it makes it difficult. So I think this will be something in the long run. It'll be great.
Yeah. And then you talk about that too. When you do a winter training program, you're in Saskatoon, let's say on the weekend, you come to Lloyd on the Monday, then you're in Edmonton on the Wednesday, let's say, just in terms of scheduling. And with all these other sports, there's dance, there's all these other events, volleyball. It's really hard to fit it that everybody can go to everything. So we've had some kids that sign up for Lloyd that end up doing a couple of sessions in Saskatoon just to get them in. So it is a challenge, we get it. But the small groups, I think, will be a pick and choose, kind of build your own menu, you know? Like a Bonanza Burger, if you will, you know?
Or, Bonanza Burger?
Yeah, Bonanza
I never
was the
did
best.
Burgers when I was at Bonanza. I was a big pierogi guy for sure.
Maybe I'm thinking
Fuddruckers. No, they had burgers there. You could
Fuddruckers, you build your own.
Yeah.
What Hardee's, too, you build your own burger.
Harvey's, yeah, what a great burger,
There's
too.
Not enough Harvey's.
No, you're right.
There really isn't.
No. No.
What a good idea.
Yeah, I like the small group idea too. Only because now, and the other thing too is you're going to get to see different instructors as well, right? Because you can go and pitch one night, you can go and throw one night, you can hit one night. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
For the levels out there, everyone listening, when Tosh disappears, he's turning and looking at Dean.
Yeah.
But it sounds
every
like
single time, and then I look at it, and then I hear it at home, and then I get frustrated, and I'm like, why is he looking at me? Right, I know exactly when he's.
Yeah, I have the. I get both of you in my right up, straight up. So my levels are always golden, generally.
Yeah,
but there is that concern.
Maybe he's just a little. He's intimidated. He's ready that I'm going to pounce on him for something he says wrong. So he always looks at me to see if it's
do,
okay.
You two do have that dynamic for sure.
You're idiots.
That's
you
fair.
Are. You're both idiots. Oh, but yeah, I
is that a shot?
Awesome.
Is that
I don't know. No.
That's not good enough.
No.
No.
No, not really.
No way.
But we are going to keep winter training in Saskatoon and Edmonton. Those are going to stay the same. Saskatoon, we've had a great response. And, of course, obviously, it's just there's a lot more opportunity there with the numbers, right? So we'll keep that the same. And we will definitely go look at our other winter training programs. And I think what happened this year with COVID, all that stuff that went on, I think one of the things that maybe one of the shining moments of COVID, if you will, was the fact that we did a really, really cool thing in Melfort this year. And that's where it came from, because Melfort, we totally changed the way we did things in Melfort. We offered different days. You could sign up for the day, not just for the whole thing. And I think a light bulb went on for sure.
Well, that's good.
Okay, you guys are writing stuff down and stuff, and you're not really paying attention.
We are.
We're
writing stuff down for, you know, thoughts. You know, and usually when you're cutting me down, there's, you know, something going on. So we have been talking and joking a little bit about sponsorship.
Yeah. It's fair to say that when we first started doing this podcast, we didn't expect it actually to go. We're over a year.
Yeah.
So we've done, and we got lots of followers. We get lots of comments, which is great. But we've got a few recurring segments. You know, we have parting shots on everyone. Now we've developed the, hey, when? How long is it going to be? What's the over-under clock on Tosh
when he pounces
roasting?
All over me?
Yeah. But there's and sadly, with the new nickname that I've garnered, and by the way, to the parents and the kids who have saddled me with this nickname, which isn't a bad nickname, you're cut. So when we find out, when the secret is released, I hope you like playing badminton.
Take it to your death, folks.
So one of the jokes that was made while we were in Bonnyville was, I went on a bit of a rant, which I have done for sure. And they said, hey, you should do a spot on the cast called Walt's Wisdom, which I think would be.
Well, you got to explain Walt now.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So we talked about it on a previous cast about how some of the parents and kids have referred to me as the Disneyland coach. It's always positive, and it's always sunny, and there's no rain. And so they've taken this and
one
stretched
step
it
further.
The founder of Disneyland, and it's shortened to Walt. So I mean, it's not a terrible nickname. I mean, Disneyland's awesome.
I've had worse
for sure. I have other ones that I can't air that are worse for sure. But I mean, I think it's a segment that would be pretty funny. So we've got lots of listeners, lots of people who tune in. That if you think the Walt's Wisdom is a notable piece, let's have you on the cast. Yeah. The Tosh roasting Dean over under clock, it's a pretty good one too. And then the parting shots. I think this cast is going to keep going. Go ahead and go on iTunes and rate it and say it's good. And then we'll just maybe try and get a few people to sponsor us a little bit. So when you guys have to come up to the studio, you know,
makes a little sense.
Makes a little more sense.
Then we're not paying you. and cookies.
Yeah, right? Which I will honestly always take and trade. Cookies are fine. And if we're making cakes, if now our kids are making cakes, I will take cake bribes. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should have that as our first non-paying payment. Sponsor.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It's Cakes by...
That's right.
Cakes by Zoe.
Cakes by Zoe.
Yeah. Big Z's Cakes and Big Z's Cake Emporium. We can give her a name right now.
Big Z is already taken. There's already a Big Z.
Little Z?
Yeah, but nobody that says Big Z really knows.
Everybody knows Big Z.
No, that is true, yeah.
Big Z, Darren Zach.
You know who might not know who Big Z is?
Okay, you ask Zoe Borbeau who Big Z is, she'll go, I don't know.
She's going to say dad?
No, she won't say anything. She'll blink twice.
We know who
twice.
Big Z is.
Twice yeah. for no, she'll blink twice. Yeah.
Everybody that has been in the softball world since 2000 would know who he is. Mm-hmm. After that, probably not as much, right?
Well, yeah, maybe.
We have to introduce you to parents every weekend because they have no idea who you are. So the other thing, too, that we're... What was
See
it?
See how
what,
he went out? To
yeah.
Out?
Jeez.
Our camp's coming up Tuesday week, and...
it's filling up.
Yeah, and we're in a bit of a precarious position with this camp because we are basing it on the COVID protocols that are in place right now because that's the only thing we can assume. We can't plan something down the road. Yeah, it's going to be opened up, and we're just going to bring in a whole bunch of numbers because if that doesn't happen, obviously we've got to turn some people away. So it is capped at the restrictions that we're sitting at right now. Now, there will be a waiting list if restrictions change. And we can open it up. That's great. And if the numbers warrant it, there's talk that maybe we can do a second go-round of that camp a little later in the day. So we'd have a morning session and an afternoon, evening session kind of thing. So, but as it stands right now, that is not in play right now. So if you're listening to this cast and you're thinking about going to Tuesday week, which is going to be awesome, and for those that don't know, it's going to be a great opportunity to get some instruction, not only from Tuesday's staff, but also all of our college alumni kids that are coming back. We've got 15 of them right now that have said that they are excited to come back and help instruct this camp. So it's going to be a real cool perspective for the kids in this camp, boys and girls, but the girls that are looking to maybe go into college in the next 2, 3, 4 years, they actually get to ask some questions of these girls that have been through the TWS program that are in college right now. And
Monday,
it's going to be awesome.
Monday to Thursday, July 19 to 22. Just so everybody knows.
Yep, for sure. And for more information, you go on the site under camps. And it's the very first one on there because I've had people, Marty Burgess, say, hey, I can't find that camp because it's called TWS Week in the Tune, Marty Burgess. So there you go.
Click on that and a lot more information.
And I think, and I haven't checked it lately, but how, like the tryout camps, we got a bunch of people already.
Yeah, we really haven't honestly promoted them as far as, on social media too much, but it's, we're expecting, we had the biggest numbers we've ever had as far as tryouts last year. A lot of people wanting to obviously do some next level training and travel. I don't anticipate that being any different this year, and we're already, we put the link on the site, it's on the site, and it's already starting to fill up as well. So we've got three locations right now for people. There's going to be 2 weeks in Saskatoon, and then in between those two weekends, we have Edmonton. So still giving people three opportunities, three different locations to make a tryout camp and attend.
We should do a quick update, too, because I did have people, Marty Burgess, actually, ask me how the trip to Brandon went. We didn't go. We said on a prior cast that we were going to Brandon to do a meet and greet with some parents and athletes there and talk with Farron Asham about maybe doing some work out there with them. But that didn't happen because Manitoba is on provincial lockdown, so we'd have to actually quarantine for 2 weeks crossing the border. So that is going to open up a little bit later on. We're working on another date. So
that's happening, just postponed.
It's going to happen. We'll it's just it. Postponed.
Dean, just one quick thing.
What else?
Just to point out, you said three locations. It's technically only two locations,
three
dates.
Opportunities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Two good facilities, though. But good. It'd be nice
to
see.
Do you think people really didn't quite get the gist of what I said? They're used to hearing me. They know I don't say things exactly perfect.
I'm trying to help you get better. That's it. Just give some course correction here. That's
fair
all.
Enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So there's lots going on. That's a pretty big update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is happening?
Well,
How about some other rules?
Let's go. Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit.
Some bad news with the cancellation of Nationals.
Yeah, Nationals have been canceled, but you know, there's talk of, you know, I know what's happening. Stuff. I know what's happening out in the Maritimes. They're looking at some regional championships and stuff. So the hope is that, you know, that happens in Western Canada and the kids get to play. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm throwing it out there, and if it doesn't come to fruition, it's a big old matzo ball hanging out there. But I just think that it can't be worse than last year. You know, and I know in Alberta, it was cohorts, and that had its challenges, but, you know, the kids got to play a little bit. In Saskatchewan, it was pretty much full leagues, full bore. They didn't have a provincial. The hope is they get to do something like that, and it leads into some kind of a regional thing, which would be really cool.
Help.
Yeah, I think so. Those kids just have to play. They haven't played for a long time. And I think of the kids in our program, they've been practicing twice a month, you know, and haven't played a game. And, you know, it sure would be nice. And I think then moving forward, I can't see the future or anything like that, but I just think that, you know, there might be some restrictions on travel, but I think we'll be traveling too.
We've got a lot of kids that need that summer.
Yeah.
Somehow, that are heading off to school. We've got, you know, like we said, we've got, you know, umpteen kids that are heading down for school. They need some place to play. They haven't probably played a ball game in over a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Something that, and I'll bring it up on the cast, and we can edit it out in post-production if you don't like it, but I talked to Razor. We had a bit of an idea that if we had a showcase weekend, if we're allowed to interprovincial travel, so Razor coaches the selects, he could bring the selects, and let's say it's the Hustlers or Phantoms or whatever, their U10 to U16 program into Lloyd. We'll have a showcase kind of a weekend where those teams all play each other in the same age group, then selects play us at the final, and there's a bit of a BBQ. I think it'd be good.
That'd be a barn burner.
It would be. He's got a pretty good club on Razor. Yeah. But, I mean, just for the every level to see right up from U10 all the way up to U19, some pretty good ball. And then Lloyd has a good facility here and nice diamonds. It's nice to see some ball played there. So that's another idea. If we're allowed to kind of mingle with Saskatchewan.
It'd be a great idea.
We're in a bit of an odd position because we're in Saskatchewan. We're governed by SHA in terms of health regulations, but we actually have to go by South Alberta rules in terms of travel, right? So Lloyd's always been a bit of a
conundrum.
Yeah.
Bit
of a quagmire, if you will.
That's a good word. And it was a savior for us because we were still allowed to do stuff in Lloyd
under
and facilities and stuff.
Saskatchewan.
Okay, so let's totally change gears here before we bring in our guest for this week. So another thing that came out with Softball Canada, now it's a couple weeks now, were the age changes and pitching rules, distances, balls, size, that sort of stuff. I'll start it by saying I think the move is a good move in moving the age category, especially this year. And, you know, like that, you know, we talked about it last year. Last year would have been a no-brainer, you know, to move the ages. They decided not to, and in hindsight, it's probably a pretty good move because they wouldn't have got a season anyways, right? So, or a national championship per se. I did air quotes. You guys can't see that. but I think that it will not be lost in those categories now where, you know, the U16 liners will get an opportunity to play as a team at next year's national championships, which is pretty cool. So it's a neat way as a coach to look at it, where you're coaching for basically,
stop looking at me,
18 months. You're coaching. No, I'm looking at you and I'm still talking to the microphone.
No,
it's still solid. It's still solid. Yeah. But I'm thinking it's an opportunity to coach for that, you know, the better part of a year. But let me throw something at you here.
Please.
Okay. So we were talking about this. We do the tryouts for different teams, right? Do you think coaches should take the opinion of this is my team for the next 2 years? Or is it still an opportunity to have an extended tryout in that? You've got your team picked for this year.
You're talking about different organizations just saying, they were U14 this year, they're going to be U15 this year. Just keep the same team. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what I was getting to. Yeah.
If well, I need you to dummy spit it out, man.
If
spit
I need
it out.
To dummy it down for you, I will.
Gosh.
But I don't know if you can coach that way. What about the kid that works their butt off all winter to get better? Right? They should still have that opportunity to make that team.
Yeah, I agree. For me, I would say it's awesome. You made the team last year, but we're running it like it's brand new. You will have that. And especially, you know, the development. Some kids get it at 12. Some get it at 15.
Yeah, there's some serious spurts of not just growth and stuff, but skill level that happens in a year. That
it's an unfortunate thing as a coach is making a team 1 year doesn't mean you make it the next year. There are tough conversations to be had, but that should be motivation to work a little harder. I mean, if you want to keep playing on this group, you're going to have to work harder.
I agree. It was funny. Tosh and I were talking about it on the way here. I've been, like, as soon as I heard about the age groups, I was kind of like, you know how I like to rant about different things, and it's not always right, but in my head, it kind of always
ever.
Is. So I don't know who I've ever said this to, but I was like, you know, when they first did the age group change, I'm like, you guys, we already have a country that is attached to us just below, you know, and they do 12U, 14U, 16U. So I'm just like, essentially, we are exactly the same thing by going U13, U15. I'm like, why wouldn't we just do the same thing? Then we're all in the same boat. But
it's the same age, levels of WBSC.
Right. So now that makes a little more sense to me. Totally.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
and so I'm big. I'm going to say I totally flip now. I
good growth.
I think the name changes are bang on. You go with your biggest governing body, and no slight to what the U.S. does, but if they want to join that thought process, then they'll do that too. But if not, you know, we're all on the same level playing field now as far as age groups go.
Well, and the rest of the world are, like I said, the rest of the world are metric system, but they're not either.
Right. So it's up to them. They want to change, they can. If they don't, they don't. But at least we're on, you know, as far as age groups go, we're equal.
How many people did you think you said that rant to?
I don't know. You know what? I'll say one. Mm-hmm. Let's see. No, I can't remember.
Okay.
I don't want to point him or her out.
You can just say a parent or whatever.
Yeah, no. Well, parent / organization leader / okay.
So again, you.
But again, I don't want to persuade. I can have an opinion.
And this is, you right.
know, that's what's going on with the world right now that actually really ticks me off. Why can't I have an opinion? It's just my opinion. I'm not trying to change the whole world view of what it is we're talking about. I don't care what it is, right? But
you're just allowed to have your opinion.
Yeah, I want to have an opinion. Sure. Okay, and we can still, at the end of the day, when we leave this office, if we have three different opinions on something, we're still going to be buddies. And we
for sure.
Freaking, yeah. You know?
You're right.
I don't know. Anyways, that's my little rant.
I think the interesting side piece here is let's talk about someone like Breeze Zacharias, who went from, she was a first year U16 last year, didn't get much of a season. She's a second year U16 this year. If they hadn't made this change, they would have went right from 14 to 19 and never even got to play a season of U16 ball.
That's a big.
That's a pretty big.
Yeah.
Move right there. So you know those girls are all working hard still, but we don't get to see any game time. It's a pretty big pool to jump into for sure. So I think it's a nice. I like the idea. I didn't even think about that angle. That's even better.
Yeah.
So I am pro this decision.
Did we say who our guest is coming on later?
We did. Yeah.
We did.
I want to ask him the next question. I'm going to definitely ask him about the pitching.
I have a funny feeling he has a more intelligent, well thought out answer than the three of us.
Then
probably.
We will. Yeah, I know. But I'm curious about what he would think. I'm curious about obviously the decisions that different provinces will make. Because my thoughts are, I mean, not my thoughts, but they're leaving it up to the provinces as far as, you know, ball size and when they want to bring that 11-inch or 12-inch ball in, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of have an opinion on it. I always thought, you know, the earlier we could, you know, not to, there's going to be a youngest age, but I mean, the earlier we can get them throwing the big ball, I just thought that was obviously kind of the way to go. I think there's going to be a lot of provinces now that are using the small ball. I think it's out now that our province is using, they're going U13 with the 11-inch. Is that correct, Tosh?
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, but we'll see what happens. I mean, again, my opinion is my opinion, right? Not everybody
else. Well,
and
you know what the nice thing, too, is if provinces are on their own, because there's no national championship at that level, right? So the kids that will be affected will be those kids that go interprovincial, whatever, for tournaments, yada, yada, yada. But the reality is, too, then, I hope that they look at it and say, okay, where is it working? Where is it not working? And why isn't it working? And why is it working? And, you know, I think there's an opportunity there to really, and I think the people, you know, that are smarter than us have probably already had that discussion. So I'm hoping that, that is the case. And maybe, you know, one of these days we get President Scott back on here and we can talk to him a little bit about it too. And
speaking of people smarter than us, I know Mark's only got a couple, half an hour max. I mean, they're in the middle of training camp. Let's get him in.
We'll leave that for him. Yeah. But I am curious. I think.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's bring him in.
All right.
From our first third-time guest on the cast, everybody.
Nice. Yep. Very nice.
Pretty big deal. I don't know if anyone knows, but pretty big deal. So we're going to talk to Mark Smith. All the way from, where are you now, Mark?
Fort Myers, Florida.
Fort Myers. How's it down there?
It's pretty nice down here, actually.
You know, we just ran a camp in Bonneville, which was a great time. But the last day, I saw a few snowflakes.
It was plus four.
Four degrees,
there was,
man.
Some snow coming
just a
down.
Couple. And I don't imagine you've seen those down there.
No.
No, it's about 91 today. Humidity, it feels like 100. That's what the radio tells us. I don't think we've seen a day since we've gotten here under 85 degrees.
Isn't Mark is a guy who works for the radio station. Always believe the radio. They will never lie to you. It's a great, great media, guys.
So, Mark, Smitty, what's going on down there as far as you guys got down there when?
We arrived on March 22nd.
Yeah. And you're not coming home. You were saying you're not coming home now until after the Olympics.
After the Olympics, because of the COVID situation and the quarantine restrictions in Canada, we're unable to come back home. So the 29th, I think, of July will be the first day those of us that live in Canada will actually return home.
Wow. And how many players are down there with you right now?
We have 18 players with us, and that will be the group that we will have until July the 6th when we actually leave for Japan. Yeah. At that point, we will two players who will be two of the alternates. They will they'll go home to their respective provinces or wherever they live. And at this stage, we will take an alternate with us who will train with us up until the 17th of July when we actually enter the Olympic Village. And on that day, the alternate, assuming that we don't have any injuries and everyone is healthy, the alternate will return to Canada.
Gotcha. So you've been playing some exhibition games, putting the girls through their paces. Just kind of give us a look at what the rest of your summer looks like leading into Tokyo.
Well, we have another four games upcoming this weekend. We play a group that are calling themselves Team Florida. That's a bit of a compilation of the members of the USSSA Pride, which is the top women's professional team here in the United States, and some former NCAA standouts who are now retired or have finished school. We'll play four games May the 8th, May the 9th. We will then be here for approximately about another 10 days on the 18th of May. We will move to Marion, Illinois, which is where we lived in 2019 and played out of the MPF. And so we'll relocate there, stay at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, and we will play 21 games out of Rent One Park in Marion, which was our home in 2019. We will then return here to South Florida, and we will play a four-game series against the Pride in Melbourne, June the 23rd to the 27th. And then we will actually come back down here to Fort Myers, where we will train and basically take a week to recover a little bit. And then we play a four-game set against there's a college league, much like the college league that exists for baseball, called the Florida Gulf Coast League. And it is all current NCAA players that want to play softball for the summer in a competitive environment. So we will come back here and play a four-game series against four of their teams that they have in the league. And then on July the 6th, we'll step on a plane and we'll head to Tokyo.
Wow. Hey, Smitty, heads up. There's a drone over your right shoulder. Mm-hmm. I can hear it humming right there.
Or a huge mosquito right by the speaker, one or the other.
That's awesome.
No, if anyone's picking this up on the as you're listening, Mark's in Florida, obviously, and it sounds like he's at like a bird sanctuary.
Yeah,
it's like
awesome. Nice pretty tranquil.
It's the U.S. team. I think they're trying to listen in on what's going on here.
There it is. Dino and the conspiracy.
So, Smitty, I've been looking at, the girls have been pretty active on social media and kind of letting the world know what's going on down there. What are you guys? I see some of them are watching movies and different houses. So, like, are you guys, all kind of living in a complex, or what's the living arrangements right now?
We have seven rented homes. Each home has approximately four people that live in it. They're four-bedroom homes. They're fully equipped with barbecues and pools and things of that nature. And
birds.
You know, one of the challenges with coming here was that we knew we were going to be here for about a two-month period. And with the COVID concerns, we wanted to make sure that we were creating an environment that would be as much like home as it could be away from home. So, you know, for example, they cook their own meals. They, you know, live as they would if they were at home, with the exception of being home. And it just gives them a sense of normalcy, I guess, if you will, in a time when there's not a lot normal happening around us. We are pretty much under what I would call house arrest, in that we travel from, you know, from home to the facility where we train, from there to the strength training facility where we train. You know, we do grocery once a week. We're not out in malls. We're not going to beaches. We're not doing any of the traditional things you would do in a warm weather climate, because we're doing our best to protect against COVID. And we've been able to get everybody vaccinated here, which is was a large accomplishment, quite by accident. The vaccinations here in Florida are free, and some of the pharmacies that are distributing the vaccines have a policy that they won't allow vaccines to spoil. Yep. So we've contacted the pharmacies, and we've been able to get all of our athletes in for a first dose, and the majority of them will have their second dose this week. And so it's a bit of a relief to know that everybody within our program will be vaccinated, which isn't an assurance that no one will contract the virus, but we will be a heck of a lot more prepared to deal with it if somebody does. Sure. And that was a bit of a, you know, that wasn't part of the plan, but certainly we're grateful that it's happened.
So the question that obviously comes up is who's doing most of the cooking, you or Jonesy?
Well, you know, it's kind of been a bit of a shared responsibility, to tell you the truth. Scott Wilgris, our strength and conditioning coach, is living here with us as well. So we're all pretty handy on the barbecue, and we keep it pretty simple, and no one's starving to death. So far, so good.
Mark, do you want to talk about, I know Tosh and Dino have had to build what we have only like come to know as the jigsaw puzzle when it in comes of scheduling and how we're getting people here and there and keeping them distant, keeping them safe. How has that been? Now you're in a new state, you're in a new seven new houses, you've got all these new things to worry about. How time and labor intense has that process been for you?
Well, Donnie, we had a bit of a test run in January. We brought the team to Ontario at the height of their COVID lockdown from the 13th of January through to the 5th of February. And in fact, the American-based players actually flew in on January the 2nd and quarantined in a hotel for 2 weeks before we actually trained. And we needed to do that. We had been off the field since September 1st of 2019, and we had had a number of planned training camps canceled due to COVID. And we just felt as a staff that we needed to get back together as a group, and we needed to do softball things. So the silver lining in it for us was that because of the lockdown in Ontario, we had access to an indoor facility as well as a bubble, a large bubble that we could play full-on games in. And we had the places to ourselves because no one else in the province was allowed to train.
Right.
And so we had 3 weeks where we had gone through very strict COVID protocols. We used the company that did the catering for the NHL bubble in Toronto for our food services. So they would deliver lunch and dinner to the hotel. You know, we traveled in vehicles with no more than four to a vehicle. Everybody wears a mask, a ton of hand sanitizer, two athletes to a room, but everybody had their own bedroom. The athletes couldn't co-mingle, so you couldn't go next door to a teammate's room. You had to go back and stay with your teammates, with your roommates. So a lot of Zoom calls, other than seeing one another face-to-face at facilities where we had planned social distancing. It really was a challenging environment to run a camp in, but I think the excitement of having not seen one another in over a year and the fact that we needed to be able to demonstrate, you know, I think to Canadian Olympic Committee, to own the podium, certainly to Softball Canada's board of directors, that we could run a camp in a high stress environment safely was important. And we also had a doctor that was with us for the entire 3 weeks of camp. And we've had two doctors that have come in here and split the 2 months that we're here that are with us. So we've done everything from a precautionary standpoint to keep people safe. We practice social distancing. We wear masks. We've got hand sanitizers. As I said, of late, we've been able to get people vaccinated. Knock on wood, we've been really successful. But you know, the credit goes to, you know, our staff and Nat Gobriel and our doctor, Emily Fajek, that's here, but also with the athletes who've been just extremely diligent in protecting themselves, doing all the things they need to do, being respectful of the environment that we need to be in. And it's really a credit to those folks that, you know, we're now into, you know, week six of an 8-week stay, and knock on wood, everybody's been healthy and safe.
Cool. So you talked back, and we'll jump back to, geez, almost a year ago when you were one of our first guests. You had mentioned that you thought that maybe the year kind of standstill or the postponement of a year would almost be an advantage to you guys so you could get a little more prepared. Still see it that way?
Absolutely. And I think the unknown in that was just the resilience piece. I mean, we've all experienced the highs and lows of COVID, and we've all managed it in different ways. And I think what's been most impressive with our team is the maturity level of the group in terms of what they've all had to live through, you know, individually, but then collectively as a team. As I say, we've had at least three training camps that were planned, one for the fall that was canceled, then another one for later fall that was canceled, then another one for early in the new year. And all of those things take an emotional toll. And then the talk of, will the Olympics happen? Will it not happen? But yet you're still expected to train with a high level of intention and intensity. When we came together in January, could not have been more impressed with where they were, not only in terms of their fitness, but in terms of their mental preparation. And, you know, we've now been here, as I say, 6 weeks, and there just hasn't been any let up. We've played 9 games, not all of it against really difficult competition, but you know, the level of intention and with how hard people are working in practice and the video sessions, and you know, everybody has kind of kicked it up a notch, and you can see that in their intention and in their work. And so I absolutely believe that we are considerably more prepared both physically and emotionally to go to Tokyo in July than we would have been a year ago.
Right. So in talking about the preparation piece, I know a lot of the athletes have been posting on Twitter or wherever else that the humidity has been a tough thing to acclimate to. How long has it taken them, or have they all adjusted? And what does it take out of an athlete to train in that kind of humidity?
Well, we're mindful of the hydration piece. So lots of water breaks, and we've got lots of water on hand and other solutions that are helpful to keep people hydrated. Really for us, it's about pushing through it. I mean, this heat and humidity has been one thing. We're going to come back here in 8 weeks' time and play for a week when it's going to be very similar to the temperatures and the type of climate that we will play in Tokyo. And so part of our intention is to really be battle tested in terms of, you know, the importance of hydration, but also just the mental fatigue that goes with. And you guys would know in those dog days of summer when you're at major tournaments and you've got to play 4 games in a day and it's hotter than heck. I mean, there's a point to which it becomes more about your mental will than it does your physical ability. And so what we're trying to do as best we can is to reconstruct the types of environments we're going to have to perform in. Things like having pitchers throw 3 days in a row and clocking their velocities to see who can maintain over those 3 days versus who's struggling a little bit. And then what are the adjustments we need to make, whether it's in rest or whether it's in fluid intake, to be able to find the extra couple of miles an hour that maybe they've fallen off. So what we're trying to do now is experiment more than anything and find out the things we need to know about an environment we're going to go to, having gone in 2018 at nearly the same time of year where the temperatures were just excessively hot and excessively humid. The more we can test ourselves here, the better prepared we'll be when we get there.
Wow. Very cool.
Well, let's talk about the pitchers, actually. How are you? I mean, you've got a very talented staff. How are they throwing down there? What's going on? Do you want me to come down and spin some BP? Like, do you need anything else? Do you need help from us? You want some confidence built up before they go? Let me know. I got.
I'm taking care of that pretty good myself, I think. No, the pitchers have done a great job. We've got 6 here, and so the management piece becomes how do you get enough innings for everybody to feel ready to go and to push themselves. And so that's always a bit of a challenge. It's when you've got 6 arms and everybody wants the ball, it's a nice problem to have. But at the same time, you know, you're trying to be as fair and as equitable as you can. You know, there's a week to go before the team's pick. There's 4 games on the weekend, and I'm sure everybody's a little bit anxious about that. But overall, the pitchers have thrown well. We haven't given up many runs. You know, they're working on the pitches that they want to work on, the locations, the sequencing. You know, we're very much using these games that we play as opportunities to get better and opportunities to try things that you wouldn't try perhaps in a more competitive environment in terms of games that matter. And so we're really trying to figure out, you know, which pitches do we want to throw to which hitters and which sequences, and, you know, can we maintain velocity over 4 or 5 innings, and are we able to come in on command and throw strikes right off the bat in relief situations. So we're trying to, again, replicate as much as we can of the types of things we think we're going to be doing in a couple of months' time. And once the team gets selected, that'll change a little bit. We will continue to carry six pitchers, but there'll be four named to the staff. And so, you know, that now allows us to focus more on getting the four as ready as we can while keeping the other two as sharp as we can in case we need to use them. But really, over this period of time, for this last 6 weeks, it's been about trying to, you know, spread the at-bats around, spread the innings around, make sure everybody's had an opportunity to demonstrate their skills and abilities. And then come, you know, the weekend or whatever, we'll have to make some tough decisions and then go on from there.
It's got to be challenging. It's got to be challenging because you're in a situation where you're playing a lot of U.S. players, which at the end of the day, I know there's lots of great teams out there, but, you know, you always match yourself up against the U.S. and you envision that could be the final. But you're balancing trying to get the best out of your players without giving everything up, right? There's going to be things that you're going to have to hold back. And I think that's fascinating. I think that's just part of the game within the game that a lot of people don't really get to think about. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. We, you know, that's a really good point. You know, it's trying to push people to challenge themselves, but at the same time, not wanting to expose. And we played Italy's Olympic team who came to the United States 2.5-3 weeks ago to train. And we had the good fortune of them reaching out and saying they need a game. So they came and played us four. And they were a team that we didn't expect that we would get to see before the Olympics because of where they lived. And so having them come to us was great. The U.S. are down the road. We haven't played them, but in large part because they don't have a full roster, and we just didn't feel that it was to our benefit to play them unless we were going to have a chance to see their full roster just like they'd get to see ours. This team, Florida, that we're going to play are a good group of talented players. There's some that have played for other national teams from other countries, so that'll be a nice little test. We do have Mexico coming into Marion to play us the 4th through the 6th of June. And they're our first game at the Olympics, so that will bring with it, I think, a little bit of intensity. They're a good team, and of course, they beat us in the qualifier to earn the number one bid. So, but at the end of the day, as we tell the athletes, it's about being prepared to play from the 22nd of July to the 28th of July, and everything we do from now until then is in service of that and preparation for that. And so, we'll do what we can to make sure everybody's ready and. You know, the schedule we've put together is a pretty good one. We will have, hopefully, if weather doesn't affect it, we will have played 50 games by the time we play our first game at the Olympics. And we feel that's the right amount of time for us to be ready to go and play our best softball.
So you're at 18 right now, you said, Smitty, and you got to get down to what, 15?
We have to get down to 15 as our roster. And then the three that aren't named will be alternates and will stay with the team until the 6th of July.
Awesome. So how is that getting announced? Like, are you?
We're in the midst of figuring that out now. We have to do it in partnership with the COC. So we're in the midst now of kind of nailing down a time, and then social media, of course, as it is today, that's the way of the world. So we're just in the midst now of kind of putting the final touches on how we'd like to do it. We want to make it as special as we can for the athletes, A, because of the achievement that it represents, but also it's been almost 2 years, since they've come together and been training for this, and we want it to be an extremely memorable thing. So we're working on some things, and I think whatever we arrive at will be a nice touch. But sometime next Wednesday, I would say likely by noon Wednesday, the official announcement will be made.
Wow, that and I'm thinking about the team that you've got down there. Those players have been together a long time. And it's going to be emotional, I'm sure. It's going to be a relief for some. It's going to be sadness for others. I mean, the whole gamut is going to run right through, your perceived locker room, I guess.
It is. Yeah, it is, Keith. And the tough part about it is that, if you could take 18, you'd take all of them.
Yeah.
You can't. And so for 15, it's the realization of a dream to play in the, most – recognized sporting event in the world, and for three others it's kind of the end of a journey, although they'll be part of things to the very end, and we've needed them all to get to this place. And so, but they are such a close group of women, and they are so respectful of one another that I think for sure once you get through that emotional 24 or 48 hours of the highs and the lows, I don't think there'll be any challenges where that's concerned. People we've talked about with the journey that at each step of the way, there's been different people that have had to step away for different reasons, but it doesn't diminish the commitment or the contribution they've made to getting us to that place. And it's no different with these, with the three that will not make the final leg of the journey. We've needed them to get there, and they'll continue to push people until we go. And heaven forbid, if something happens from a health perspective, one of them could wind up going. So I think it's, it, you know, the keeping them focused, but they care so much for one another and respect one another so much that I think it's a unique group, and that they'll be happy for one another. They'll be sad for one another, but I don't think it'll affect performance or intensity or commitment to what we're, commitment to the mission. And that's the neat thing about this group.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I know, just as a fan, like, I am dying to hear who gets to go and, like, and just follow along. It's exciting. And of course, we prodded you a little offline that if you want to make the announcements here, you most certainly could, which you politely declined, which is...
You said not a chance.
Yeah, he said no shot.
You said no shot.
See, I remember it as, you know, Donnie, I'd really like to be able to do that, but it's just not a good idea. But that's how I choose to
see,
do that.
See, we played for him, yeah. So he's pretty black and white. Yeah. No shot means no shot. Yeah,
but period. We'd be remiss if we didn't at least prod into that question a bit. Yeah. But I mean, it's a testament to the group that you've got them right down to the final 4 days, and there's or week it is, and you're playing four more games, and you're still making these tough decisions. It's got to be a big burden for you guys to bear as a coaching staff to try and make those decisions on these athletes that have been working so hard for so long. Yeah.
It is hard. It's, I often tell people, it's the worst part of coaching. You know, I love the interaction with the players and the sharing and the teaching, but to sit down and tell somebody who's done everything you could have possibly asked them to do and worked as hard as they possibly could have, that unfortunately the effort comes up a little short. I mean, I'm sure they'll shed a tear, and I'm sure I'll shed a tear, because it's, you know, these are young women. They've almost become like my daughters. You know, I've got 18 kids, and I'm going to disappoint three of them. And it's a really hard pill. But at the same time, you know, they've worked so hard. They've done such an incredible job to be here. They've got so much to be proud of. And I know in that moment, it's not going to mean a lot, but they really have been an incredible ambassadors for this country. And I'm proud to have been associated with them, and however things turn out in Tokyo, couldn't have worked with a more talented and committed group of women than this group. And I'm proud of what they've done to this point. And I think they'll prove themselves well in Tokyo.
Yeah, I know you're going to say, well, we want to win, and that's the goal and all that stuff. And kind of from the outside looking in, that's a real special group that you guys have done really well over the last, you know, half decade, really, of putting some great results together and, you know, winning some games that some big games, you know, obviously the 15 Pan Ams, that was that best on best one game showdown where you go and you won that game. So I think you guys are going to be right there on the last day. And if everybody plays, you know, and you got to make sure all the pieces fall together. But if everybody plays to their capability, I think you guys are, you're going to be there on the last day for sure.
Well, we hope so, Keith. I mean, they've, as I said, it won't be from lack of work or lack of commitment. We've left no stones unturned, whether it's as the athletes or as a staff, in terms of making available world-class resources and trying to prepare them as best we can, not just for softball, but for life beyond softball. And as I watch them on a daily basis, how they interact with one another, the way they go about their business in terms of preparing, they're a pretty special group. And, to your point, your best have to be your best when it counts the most, and we're certainly hopeful of that. But I really feel that they will avail themselves very well because they're prepared. I can't imagine there's going to be a country that's going to arrive at that event any more prepared, who has worked any harder than our athletes, and I'm proud of that.
As you should be. And, you know, we don't want to bug you much more now until it actually is, you've had a chance to get over and compete. But we would love to extend the offer as your first podcast interview right when you get back to talk about it, if you could. That'd be good. We want to get that on record. We do love having you, Mark. You're an incredibly good speaker. I don't think we could have a guest. You could be a regular panel guest if you had more time. We would love to have that too.
Well, I mean, I think, as I told you guys a year ago, I think what you're doing is great for our game. Really diversified in terms of who you have on. And there's obviously a national audience of people who are in love with their game and committed to knowing what's happening. And I think the three of you do a great job of that. I also, Dino, wanted to congratulate you. I know that you are named to the staff of the U23 team, and you know, I'm certainly biased, but I always think it's great when our former national teamers have an opportunity to influence, you know, the future of our national team program. So kudos to you for sticking your hand up and taking that on. And, you know, we got a great game. We've got a rich history in this country. of being world class at what we do. And you know, I'm just proud to be a part of that fraternity. And for sure, after the Olympics are over, I'd love to come back and share the experience, because I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
Awesome. Awesome, Smitty. Hey, before you leave, I have one question, what we're dealing with at home here. And I know we're taking it off the topic here a little bit, but I just got a question. You know, we're dealing with age changes and pitching distances. People are, you know, wondering about different things. And obviously we've left the size of ball and that kind of stuff up to the provinces to make those calls. And this is not a political question. I promise you, I'm not putting you on the spot. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just curious what your thoughts are. I mean, I have my own thoughts. There's going to be lots of different people thinking, you know, big ball at a younger age, you know. What's your thoughts on it? Just totally non-political, just let her go.
Well, just as a fan of the game and taking off my national team hats or affiliation, I so much of what I hear in the world that I'm traveling in is around the U.S. distances, and that, you know, our teams that live on and border provinces like Ontario, you know, your provinces, British Columbia, they spend as much time playing in the U.S. sometimes as they do in Canada. And when they go down to these places to play, the distances are different. The ball sometimes is different. And it places some of our kids at a bit of a disadvantage. I think the biggest question that I have, and I don't have the answer to this in my mind, is just around developmentally. You know, not every athlete that puts on a glove in our sport, male or female, aspires to play on the national team. And so my curiosity with all of it is, you know, have we ever stopped to think about sort of the groups that we're looking to keep involved with our game? There's a faction of kids that aspire to play at the best possible level, whether that's provincially, Canada Games, junior college, eventually junior national team. But there's a larger faction of kids that just play the game because they like the sport and they want the fellowship of playing with other people they know. And I wonder if there's a happy medium. And I don't have the answer to that, but because I do realize that the small ball, you know, for smaller kids, it gives them better ball control. I think they can learn to spin the ball better and do some of the things that go with becoming, you know, a pitcher as opposed to a thrower. The flip side of that is that if you're in an age group that's going to travel interprovincially or travel across the border, then you're going to have some challenges. So I'm not sure what the right answer is, Dino. I mean, I would like to see more evidence-based decision-making when we come to these decisions, as opposed to it being whoever hollers the loudest. Mm-hmm. Because I think at the end of the day, we are making decisions that impact our national teams of the future and our ability to maintain, you know, a world-class standing in the world. And I think all of these decisions have the potential longer term to impact that growth and development of athletes. So I think, you know, if we can get to the place, and maybe we are already have, and I'm just not in the loop, but I think if we can get to the place where we're making evidence-based decisions instead of reactions from, you know, a group of coaches at one level or a group of coaches at another level or the largest provinces who tend to have the biggest influence, that to me is what we have to be careful of, because the game, we've worked too hard too long for a small country to be as dominant as we are in the world, to be making developmental mistakes that aren't grounded in science and fact, mm-hmm. and to simply do things because of the trend or because that's what the Americans do. I just think we need to be, you know, we've got a country that's the size of California population-wise. Like we can't compete with them, and we shouldn't be comparing our development to theirs, because for every one kid that quits softball in the United States, you know, 100 join. Mm-hmm. In Canada, when 10 kids quit softball, we feel it in our communities because there aren't necessarily 10 behind them to sign up and play. So I just think we need to be a little bit more intentional and a little bit more evidence-based in our decision-making, so that if things don't go the way we hope they go, at least it's grounded in science and not somebody's best guess at the time.
Yeah,
it's a good answer. Mark, I think you had a run for prime minister, buddy. You're a super smooth speaker. Just nice.
Well, it is. It's a controversial thing. Oh, I mean, just sure. Listening to you say that, I mean, that throws a lot of different ideas in my head. I mean, particularly for our program, it doesn't bother us at all. It really honestly doesn't. It might in a roundabout way, you know, affect us in the sense that, you know, obviously summer clubs are going to throw whatever size of ball the provinces decide at the end of the day. But but really, we're traveling to the States. We're dealing with that size of ball, those distances. So it really honestly doesn't affect us. But I'm just curious to what, you know, people like yourself and different people that are involved at different levels kind of feel about the ball size particularly.
But I think you guys, you know, you guys are in a position with the academy programs that you offer, where you know, you can help mitigate some of those challenges, because if you're working with kids and if they're living in a province where there's a ball differential, you know, you can experiment and have them throw one ball and have them throw the other ball and allow them to get comfortable with the challenges associated with it. You know, the pitching distance maybe being a little differently. When you've got a group of kids that you have the time to actually impact really their mental preparation for dealing with those differences, that's a different story. But when you're talking about your house league ball, community ball, where kids show up, want to play, and all of a sudden we're imposing different challenges without a real grounded understanding of why. And then in addition to that, with varying skills levels from kids who just show up to be around their friends to kids who have some level of skill, you know, our game, when you think about it, is a pretty complex game. You know, you put a ball in play, there's any number of options for people to get somebody out. You have to strategically know where to throw the ball, when to throw the ball. It's there's a lot of adult thinking that goes into a game that we're trying to keep kids interested in. And I just think we always have to be mindful of who the end user is, and are we making it, you know, we're not soccer where you just, you know, the goal's at the other end, kick the ball in that direction and try to put it in the goal. Our game is not that simple. And so I just think when we're making decisions that affect our sport and the kids that play our sport, we have to always, front of mind needs to be, are we serving the best interest of the kids kids we're working.
I know what you're thinking about there, because that's exactly what I think about every time I'm on the mound. I got Tosh maybe playing second or short. I got to be able to figure out a way to make those hitters not hit the ball to him. You know what I mean?
And you made a career of it.
Yeah, that's right. So it's you know, it's a real mental game out there.
That's right, buddy. You could put the ball wherever you wanted. That was your skill set right there. Yeah.
Speaking of the 11-inch, though, I know speaking for Tosh, I don't know about Dino so much, but when we get to throw it at BP and when an 11-inch slips in there, boy, you feel like you're throwing pellets.
Oh,
right?
Man, it's like throwing a ping pong ball.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah.
Well, even a raccoon can throw an 11-inch.
Yeah, you bet. Donnie Carney hands here can't quite get his fingers around the 12.
Well, Smitty, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it. I know you guys are busy, and you know, we're very jealous. You're sitting on your patio right now, and we can hear the birds in the background. And I know that you're living the dream that most coaches in our position want to live. And that's you're at the top of the game, and you're dealing with the best athletes, and you're essentially coaching a professional softball team right now, and that's a pretty cool thing to do.
Well, I'm pretty grateful, Tosh. I didn't get here by myself. I mean, it's the years of playing, and it's getting to coach people like you and Dino, and all of the lessons that are learned along the way, and people that are in your corner when you needed people to be in your corner. So I've never, when I look at being here and being in this moment, I think about all of the people that I've been associated with and that have helped develop my skill sets and my knowledge of the game and have helped kind of me arrive at this place. And you know, it's my last go around. And so when the last pitch is thrown at the Olympics, that's the end of it for me, coaching certainly at this level. And I try really hard to stay in the moment and remember that. It's easy to wake up some days and feel like, God, we got to go to the park and do this all over again. But when I put it in the context of, but this is the last time you're going to do this, it certainly makes you mindful and appreciative of your health and the good fortune and the good people and all of the things that have led to me being in this moment. And I don't take any of it for granted.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Smitty. Thanks for coming on.
No worries.
Yep.
All right, guys. Take care.
You bet. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, boys. That's another one in the can, other than we haven't done any parting shots.
I'm so excited about seeing how the national team does.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're all pretty big fans of that group, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And we get – I mean, it's really cool now with social media the way it is. We get updates, and it's different perspective updates. Like, I follow Emma Ansminger, and she's got some real cool stuff on there. It's not all softball stuff. It's like, you know, there's a picture of her skateboarding, and you know, they're really trying to do their best to keep it as normal as possible. And like Mark said, I mean, they're basically on house arrest, right? So and again, it always comes back, and we talk about this all the time. It's not as glamorous as you think playing for the national team, right? Like, how many trips did we go to where the food wasn't great, the living conditions weren't great, the transportation wasn't great? Heck, there's times where it wasn't even safe to walk downtown. So what these young women are going through, not only still trying to make a team, you know, they're not even named to the team yet. It's pretty incredible what they're doing. So when he talks about that special group and he said it's going to be tough, maybe shedding a tear, I'm sure he will.
I bet he will.
He is, he loves those kids, and they've gone to war with him for the better part of a decade, a lot of them. So it's a pretty neat situation to be in, but it'll definitely be tough next week when he has to make that decision.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, let's okay. So I want to get into my shot. I've been chomping at the bit here.
Yeah.
So we had some chatter on the weekend, and Chach was there as an instructor running infield, and she's great.
Yeah.
How many years did Chach play for the program?
Three.
What?
Not
more than that.
Three.
Really?
Three.
Fair.
She seems like she's been around longer.
Yeah. Old soul on Chach, right? So we're standing in the kitchen when this cake is being unveiled, and she hands me an empty cup. I'm like, what do you need me to do with this? She's like, well, you're the rookie. You get to hold my cup.
Oh, my God. I'm like, no. She threw absolutely. That out.
Yeah. Down it goes.
Right. So I was like, no. A, I'm twice your age. So no. And she said, well, how long have you been in the program?
Okay, whoa. Age doesn't matter.
No, I know.
No, like, didn't one of the Russians get rookie of the year? He was like 30 years old.
So she can run for rookie coach of the year.
Okay,
if
I'm
she'd
just
like.
Saying. Just saying age, throw that's the age true. Out. That's yeah. different. Yep.
No, I'm not throwing it out, but it's part of my whole pyramid.
Yeah, so I think what your issue is, Donnie, is we need to figure out what you're a rookie at. What is she referencing there? Is she saying you're a rookie, like, length of program? Because if we're looking at length of program, then we need to figure out exactly when both of you guys came
No, you
on.
Don't.
What?
No. No. But you don't think about length of program. It's when did no. You know, when you're on a hockey team and you played there the year before, and somebody comes on, they're a rookie. So, Chach, if they're talking program, Chach was in the program 3 years before.
Okay,
if somebody came after Chach, they would be a rookie in comparison to in the program.
Okay, right. Well,
but what about on the coaching staff?
That's what we're saying. That's different.
Okay. So here was my argument back to Chach. And by the way, it went nowhere. Right. It was like talking to a ham sandwich. Chach was not having it.
No.
Yeah. But so I've been in the program going on 4 years.
Yeah.
Coaching the entire time, obviously. Chach has been at three as a player, year off, comes back.
Right.
It's not
continuous when you're not here.
No.
Right.
So I just wanted to put it to the listeners. If you have any feedback, send it this way. I don't think that, and at this point now, Chach is not a player on the twos. She was.
Yeah.
So for sure that's, but if we're talking about what she's doing currently, there's no way I'm taking her empty cups.
I'm going to just hold my opinion because I don't want to influence everybody.
You're an influencer?
Yeah. Well,
I think you gotta pick the fight, and you've gotta put some sidewalls on what the argument is.
I think the question
it's gotta be more specific.
Well, what you were saying there though is, so are you saying that if you've played 5 years on a team and then you're coaching on that team, you're not a rookie coach?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Okay, well, that's what I want to clarify.
No. That's where Chach's argument is. What I'm saying is, are we talking about as far as being on staff? Or are we talking about as far as being part
that's
of the program?
That's what I was trying to say, and then you cut me off. Mm-hmm. I was trying to say we got to differentiate what it is.
Well, spit it out, man.
That's what I said.
I think if we're talking, that's two different things, because if it is who was in the program first, well, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's not debatable.
No.
That's a simple.
But maybe that's where her argument is.
Well, maybe that's what she's saying. But you got to clarify. I think that was your issue, Donnie. You needed to clarify right then. What are you talking about,
rookie? I think you were so flabbergasted at the point that she even had the audacity to hand you the empty cup, kind of threw you off your game a little bit. But
if I may.
It set you back.
And you
it did. I thought she was like, hey, would you? I thought it was more of an unspoken, hey, would you make me another drink? That would get me some punch. That'd be nice.
Right.
No.
Here's
hold my garbage because you're below me.
So was it the fact that did it throw? Because normally you're not at a loss. Like,
never.
This is a jerk store moment.
Very jerk store.
Because you had it. You had the comeback.
Yeah.
You just were so flabbergasted that she even had the audacity to hand you the cup. It just threw you off.
Right.
And you're in the kitchen of a family that is. Been so courteous and so welcoming to help. You're not gonna drop her right there.
No, right? Not right there. No.
You know, at the end of the day, the ironic thing about that whole situation is, if she would have waited a half a second, you probably, because you're Disneyland Donnie, you probably would have said, "Hey, Chach, I'm going over here. Do you want me to take your cup for you? I'll probably fill it up." Like you would have done.
Yeah, I would have offered. Yeah,
yeah.
So, but that let that be my offer, not an implied.
No.
No.
Yeah.
So that's good. I'd like some feedback if there's anyone listening that wants to weigh in. Mm-hmm. I think Chach is in the wrong here.
Yeah.
Not that, and she's a great girl, great instructor, lots of fun. Not ahead of me on the coaches' seniority rank, and that's what we're doing now.
That's true.
Would you all agree to this point on Chach, though, that she's found her voice?
She has. Yeah, she's done great.
Like, I remember the Chach that was like, thank you, yes, sir. Anything you need, yeah, you bet. And now she's like kind of running the show.
Wind her up and let her go.
Been unzipped a bit. Now she's unraveled.
She
did a great job.
She did a really good job.
She's a lot of fun, but that is my shot. Chach, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Pretty good. Okay, so I got two things, and Dino's going to go last. Well, I'm going to go last.
Yeah.
Sure. So two things. One, if you guys recall.
Stop it. You're going to say mine, so go to the next one.
I know yours exactly.
Yep, I do. Okay, go ahead.
So Mark came on to his thing and talked about, he held judgment based on he wants to see where it goes, which is smart.
Okay.
And he wants to, because there's different people are going to handle this differently. And you're looking at different groups within our sport. You're looking at the recreational side as opposed to the elite side. And, you know, there's going to be some differentiation between those two groups based on need, right? So the recreational player, do they need to have the complication of throwing another big ball, or do we keep kids involved? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about this, and Dino, maybe it didn't come to mind. What came to mind for me was about 15 years ago, maybe now, I don't know. I was a player rep on a phone call where they talked about the men's pitching rule. And it was right. Well, it was right after the 2002 or 2001. When was Winnipeg? 2001.
It was 2002.
Why are you asking, Dean?
It was
two or three.
You're right. I shouldn't.
Hey, you've already had a parting shot.
It was 2002. It was 2002. And if you remember correctly, Dean, there were a plethora of illegal pitches called, and it was getting to be a bit of a joke because the third base umpire was calling legal pitches, the first base umpire wasn't, and then they switched, and it was just all over the map. And I don't think it was a combination of maybe not having a clear rule. Yeah. So then the talk was, okay, well, do we put a foot back? Do we go back to where it was before the ISC rule, the American rule, put a foot back? And the argument was this: well, if we put a foot back, that is going to hurt the development of pitching in our country because now we're not going to, they won't have the proper mechanics, you know, now becomes a power.
You got to do something different somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. But if you really think about it, and this was the argument, and I believe it was Mark that said it on the call, only four guys need to know how to toe up. The four guys that are pitching internationally for Canada are the only four guys that need to know how to toe up. Everybody else, it doesn't matter. If your national championships are a foot back and every other tournament you go to in the States are a foot back, then it doesn't matter. So that's where I went to thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe we put too much emphasis on it because of the program we're in. But if it makes sense to keep the kids playing at a certain level, then what does it matter? So that was just the follow-up there, because I thought of that prior to just before. But
thank goodness you just clarified Smitty, because he probably wasn't clear enough, I guess, when he said
I think we know where Dino's parting shot's headed.
No, I wasn't clarifying Smitty. I was saying it was the same thing. And it put it in perspective. It put in perspective for me in that it really doesn't matter.
No.
It's what's best for the game.
Yes.
Not what's best for a handful of elite players. What's best for the game. Okay.
You agree, eh, Donnie?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so my parting shot is this. Donnie's nickname came out how long ago? About a week.
Yeah.
But it's been a podcast or two that we've talked about it, depending on what order they're aired.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, that doesn't upset me at all. I like that nickname. It's not upsetting to me at all. Yet, every time we turn the off switch on this or anytime we're by ourselves, who said that? What parent said that? Who's saying that about me?
He just wants to know who to thank.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it does bother him a little bit, because when we were finished up in Bonnyville, I'd go to coach and we go around the circle and we talk and I'd say, Walt, and you just put your eyes down in that moment. Right.
Mostly because the smallest group, especially, just had a little chuckle. And even if it's a good nickname or a bad nickname and their athletes laughing with or at you, it's a tough.
I think it's actually very rude of Tosh to actually call you Walt. You know, he came up with it, not me. You know, knowing that your Uncle Walter passed away when you were young.
Gutless.
Right?
You are so gutless.
Well, it's very insensitive. You should have maybe checked with him because
have my chance for the cross examination.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not upsetting.
Is this going to get real serious here?
No.
Because Dino's making it.
Have I ever been?
Okay.
No.
Well, I'm just wondering.
No, it's not upsetting. But what I would like to know is who are the parents or players who are to my face or like, hey, everything's peaches. And then when you two show up, it's like, boy, that Donnie sure is a real coloring book guy. Hey, real unicorns and whatever. I would just like to know if they would in turn tell me that. Would you say this to me? Is my question. And if they would, I think they should. Yeah. I'm not insulted.
True.
I just like to know who is out there perpetuating these things.
So do you think they're talking smack? Is that why you want to know?
No, I don't think smack.
I don't think it's smack.
Because if you really felt it was an endearing nickname, you don't really need to thank them, right? You just go, oh, that's pretty cool they think of me that way. But I don't think it is, Donnie. And that's why you want to know.
I mostly want to know just, who's talking about me.
Yeah.
That's
of course.
It.
Okay.
Hey, anyway. Hey, it's when they stop talking about you, you got a problem.
Yeah, I guess.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we're
you got
there
a part
for a bit,
C
yeah.
or are you good? Part C to your.
No, but I mean.
This has been a parting hour.
No, but I mean, you've been pretty much yapping the whole time. So when you start yours, I'll start yapping during yours.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, Donnie, how many podcasts have we
had? That's wrong.
What? I said, Donnie, how many podcasts have we had?
We've got to be 60 plus.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, or think right we were that. Close. We're pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So we had Mark Smith on for his first cast. He was probably guest 4 or 5.
Yeah.
That was a year ago.
It's good that you brought Mark up because.
Here we go.
What I'm going to say is awesome. My parting shot is to Donnie.
Donnie gets a pair.
Two today. I'm
if
sorry,
we had
Donnie.
Three guests, we'd have three shots.
I didn't have it planned. You guys knew this. You're saying, hey, let's just wing it. And I said, well, we're winging it because I didn't have my parting shot planned out. But just started thinking, you know, it was funny. Smitty was on the old computer machine here, and he was looking at us before we got going. And he could hear us, but we couldn't hear him because he was having
I know where this
difficulty.
Is going. Here we go.
So how many podcasts do you think, Donnie? Maybe 60?
Yeah, 60, yeah.
Donnie still doesn't know how to run.
No.
Just all – so he had to call – who do we call in?
Chubba is his
we
name.
We called Chubba in. And we got some problems here. We got technical difficulties, and he just literally put his finger on the button. He said, "You gotta turn it up." He just pushed the button up. He just pushed the volume button up, and then we're all golden again.
Right now,
come on, Donnie.
No, I will wear that.
Okay. For the record, it's 48.
Oh,
48.
48. Yeah, I thought we were in the 50s or
48.
Close, yeah.
Well, I just looked on Spotify.
Anyway,
either way.
Figure this out.
Let's
put a sticker on it, Donnie.
No, there are stickers everywhere, but there are also 10 levels here. Right. I am not Dr. Dre in here mixing
but for everybody that's listening right now, this is a mixer.
Right.
Just what Donnie's talking about. It's not an airplane with all these gauges and gadgets on it. It's a mixer.
Which you've flown before.
A lot of people. Yeah, I have flown it. I'm a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mixer. It's less than a foot by a foot. And it's got, I don't know, maybe 30 buttons on it. But 29 of the buttons you don't use. You don't even touch the 29 buttons. You just touch the volume button. So, and people that actually play guitar or do different things, they know exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
Okay? So the more times we say, oh, look at the buttons on this thing. It's just overwhelming. That's what I'm saying.
And I have a question. I have a question. Okay.
Let me just answer that first.
Okay.
You both have the same amount of podcasts on your belt as I do.
Yeah.
So let's just say next time there's a technical issue, one of you can kind of come back here and say, oh, well, it should be pretty easy, but it isn't.
No, but here's the thing. If you really think about it and really, you know, now we've had a little bit of time, but my first reaction would have been to say, okay, we're plugging the computer in through the auxiliary cord, which should run in to the auxiliary outlet on the board.
Which is very well labeled right
clearly
here.
Marked, and it was at the bottom.
It was at zero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's where my brain would go first. Well, I would just start tracing where the cord goes.
Yeah.
I'll bet you the next time. And I mean, I know we're looking at doing some things on the computer, which would be kind of cool from different locations. So I think that sound might work. But when we do come back in here again, is it fair enough to know, like, you'll be all over that?
I will have done some research, That's a fair parting shot. And I do own it. It is it's something I should be better at, and I'm not. So much like we talked about my son being bad at doing laundry, I don't want to be better at it because I don't want to have to try and fix this. I just want to come in.
That's a whole other stuff in your brain that you got to know, right? Yeah.
If you push something new in your mind, something old leaves.
Something's got
to
fall
out. I like all what's in there. I like everything in there.
So if we had a sponsor, we could pay somebody to have this set up, and now you're just the talent when you walk in.
Yes, that's exactly right. So and talent's a bit of a stretch, but I am a person who's on the mic. Yeah,
for sure.
So let's put that out there into the universe. There's got to be somebody out there who's like, you know what? I love the program. I love the guys. I love the stories, whatever. And there's a few segments that are going to be sponsored, and I think they're all fairly entertaining. So let's – this 14-minute parting shots brought to you by – great, you know?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The first shot at Dino by Tosh.
We should probably talk to Mr. Christie's first. We should probably talk to – what was that restaurant in Weyburn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in Estevan.
Estevan.
Tower Pizza.
Tower Pizza. I guess they have great pizza. But we should talk to some of these people that we've –
Or quit talking about them.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Jenny's Diner in Bonneville. We talk about them every time we're in Bonneville. You know, there's a couple places that either are getting too much free love or should maybe start.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And when Zoe's cake building business takes off,
She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to pay any money.
No.
To be on
she just has to make us a cake.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think it would be updates. This is what Zoe's cake of the week was this week.
When she comes up with a name.
Yeah.
Of her company.
Yeah.
If she hasn't already. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely put a logo on our website, that's for sure.
Yep, there you go. Cool.
Love it. Great job, guys.
Awesome job. Say good night, man.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.